مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected honorable listeners of مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة. We welcome you to this program. It is the spiritual breakfast. This is our interview segment. The date today is the 4th of Dhul Hijjah, 1445. Other areas of the world, Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, Masjid Al-Aqsa. Someone sent a message now also in France. It is also the 5th of Dhul Hijjah. Let's welcome our honorable guest, and that is Hazrat Mulana Musa Lahir Damat Barakatuhu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. مولانا جزاك الله خيرا for having us once again.
جزاكم الله خيرا for joining us. مولانا, our question which just came to mind now, did مولانا موسى لهي ever perform حج with مولانا يونس بتيل رحمة الله عليه؟
No, unfortunately I didn't perform حج with حضرت رحمة الله عليه. I didn't even get an opportunity of performing an Umrah with him either. I've only performed Hajj once, and that was in 2012, alhamdulillah. And I'm hoping, inshallah, next year we'll be on the list again. I need to take my family. She has not yet performed Hajj. Allah Ta'ala accept us all, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Make dua for us also. We haven't been, and we are craving to go. So, inshallah, Allah makes it possible. We request the listeners too. So, Mulana, you...
So, Mulana, whilst you're on that topic, you know, so I think my wife's registration went in 2016.
Gee.
If you look at it, it's a long time already. Mm. It's 8 years.
Gee.
I think it's important for the listeners that have this yearning and this desire to go for Hajj. The first step is to put your name on the list.
Mm.
Because there's such a long waiting list, and obviously the whole quota system and what have you. Allahu A'lam, they're saying that they are now going to go into a raffle system or something like that. They have been hearing certain rumors, and by the year, 2030 or something, they're opening up for 5 million hujjaj, etc. But I think, you know, irrespective of whatever's happening on that end of the world, the first step to the niyyah of Hajj, putting your name down on that list, paying, and most importantly, is paying that. So what had happened, Molana, is we initially had put our names down in 2014.
Gee.
But for some reason, whatever it is, Allah knows best, we didn't pay that 400 rand or whatever it is, that administration fee.
Gee.
And when I checked up, like a year or two later, then this was brought to my attention, which we had obviously paid immediately. And that's the registration date there, not 2 years before. Mm. So we had actually lost 2 years. But Allah's way, Allah knows best. But that's why I'm saying it's very important for us to do this year, because it can take at least 10 years before your turn comes up.
Mulana, what I wanted to ask also is... the lessons learned from Mulana Yunus Patel, rahimullah, and his Hajj journeys, Umrah journeys. I recall just not so long ago that there was this clip always goes around, and it goes around during the Hajj period, where Mulana Yunus Patel, rahimullah, himself mentions that he wanted to go for Hajj, but he put down a condition in the house that we are going for Hajj with whatever, we're selling everything, and selling the fridges, everything. And with that money, then we're going for Hajj. Mulana, is this possible in today's times that we also should maybe look towards this? I feel I'm weak. I don't know about others.
So look, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, his iman, his taqwa was on a very high level. And his love, true, sincere, deep-hearted love, particularly for Medina Munawwara, and as well as Makkah Mukarramah, was extreme. It was astounding. Mm. It was exemplary. Mm. So the demand is not for us to sell our entire household and go for Hajj. Yes. Allah Ta'ala has made it such that if a person is going for Hajj, he has the wealth, then he should go for Hajj. This is a journey of love. So So every person's love is different. I don't think it's a matter of weakness or strength or what have you. It's more about love. Maulana, in today's Zamana, so I was in another town, I'm not going to take mention of the name, a few weeks ago, and a friend of mine who I had stayed with in this particular suburb, he told me that last year he got accepted all of a sudden for Hajj. But before that, he obviously had gotten married and he went away overseas for honeymoon and he did a few other trips. And all of a sudden, Hajj came in, you know. And so what he did was he took whatever Krugerrands he had in his savings. I mean, that's investment. People don't normally sell their Krugerrands, you know.
Gee.
They keep it. But he did that. He sold his Krugerrands and alhamdulillah, him and his new bride, they went for Hajj. So it's not far-fetched in today's times. I've heard of people selling their vehicles to go for Hajj, alhamdulillah. But the reality is, it's not our money that takes us for Hajj. It's Allah Ta'ala's labbaik. Here in Cape Town, Maulana, it's astounding. It's shocking. It's mind-boggling. People, last week, Friday, in the Jummah lecture, it was delivered by a Durban alim. He mentioned that there was many, many years ago. You can think it's not so long ago because this person was living in the States and it was in the region of $4,000 to go for Hajj, this A to Z, your tickets and what have you. And this guy was a street sweeper. So from his salary, he would take 20 US cents every month and put it away until the jar got filled. And then from the jar, it went into a packet. And from a packet, it went into a sack. And from a sack, it went into a bag. And from a bag, it went into a box. And then when it finally reached the box, he took it to the alim and he said that, you know what, I want to go for Hajj. Can you help me count? So they sat and they counted. And subhanAllah, after so many years of saving, he had about $5,000. And he jumped on the plane and he went for Hajj. A street sweeper, Maulana. So it just tells you so much, you know. I heard a very, I think I would describe it as an inspirational story that I don't know how true it is, but anyway, I'm just narrating it. A person in Turkey, or somewhere like that, another country, and there was a drone that was flying. For whatever reasons it was, not one of these war drones or anything like that, but a drone.
Gee.
And this drone actually fell in this person's yard. And he picked it up and he returned it to the Turkish authorities. And he said, you know, I wish I too had wings like this year so I could fly for Hajj. And then the Turkish government then sponsored his entire Hajj.
SubhanAllah.
So Allah Ta'ala makes means. Allah Ta'ala is Kareem. Allah Ta'ala is so, so beautiful, you know. I think it's the desire of every person, especially now that we're coming closer and closer to the days of Hajj. You become nostalgic, especially those that have been for Hajj. You think of your experience that you had in Arafah, Muzdalifah, Mina. There's nothing better than it, Maulana.
And then I don't know if this year there was, but every year I read up about these people who cycle all the way. And then you get other people who walk or drive all the way. I know my father, he's always been saying now, Maulana knows my father. So he says, Honorable Father, he says, you know, we need to purchase one of these, I think he said Fortuna Last or something of that sort. And we need to just drive from here and go, like make it a... But yeah, Allah knows best. It may be just a... So he says we need four people. We need a doctor, we need a mechanic, we need a alim, and we need a driver. Those are the four people. And then we can go...
And make sure all four are drivers.
Definitely.
So, Maulana, just on that, you know, it's good, you know, that people want to use all these avenues and you know, go for Hajj, etc. But we mustn't make it also a spectacle at the same time. So, you know, especially the cyclists, You know, you have to watch the way you dress.
Gee.
If you're undertaking a Hajj journey, your Hajj begins long before you reach Jeddah Airport or Medina Airport. It begins already from the time that your niyyah has been made for Hajj. So all the commandments of Sharia, they need to be followed. You know, you find people that are runners and people that are cyclists. Sometimes the clothing is not just appropriate, and then it becomes also a photo spectacle at the same time, you know. So those type of things, we just need to be a little bit more cautious on.
100%. And I just feel that's well said, because it becomes like a marathon, or it becomes more we're doing it for attention. Like, you know, we did this, yeah. You know, we drove, we... So those are issues which, that's why we need shuyukh to inform us of all of this and give us, that's where we're lacking, I feel. The other aspect that we want to speak on, Mulana, is Qurbani. I don't know if Mulana wants to add any other aspects or comments or lessons that we can learn on, with regards to Hajj. If not, we can move to Qurbani quickly.
Gee, look, there's so much that we can speak about Hajj. But those that are in Hajj are already in Hajj, I think, if not all. I'm sure all the flights have left already. I don't know of any other flights that are leaving. So let us rather concentrate on Qurbani, because this will affect the masses that are remaining here in our own respective countries, wherever we are, etc. But the Qurbani, again, Maulana, this is something that, you know, Maulana, a few years ago, at that time I was Imam in Masjid al-Falah, and we decided to take a three-day Jamaat out. And I still remember it was in the Calvin area. So this small Masjid there in Calvin. But anyway, it was all youth, and it was a big crowd. We were 26 in the Jamaat, which is abnormal, you know.
Normally, when we go Jamaat for our, you know, in seventh year, we go with Mufti Ridaul Haqsab, Damat Barakatu, we go for, so that's a once-year thing for the seventh-year students. Then it's the Jamaat is that big. That's the biggest I know in South Africa.
So mashallah. Anyway, when we went there, the youngsters, on the Saturday night, we said, hey, Maulana, please, we want to have a braai. I said, okay, no problem, we'll have a braai. We're not too far from home, so we'll, you know, get meat and what have you, and we'll have a bride that evening, you know, after all the programs and what have you. So one of the brothers that was in the Jamaat, he said, Maulana, I've got Qurbani meat. And I slaughtered this huge goat. It was just about a month or two after Qurbani, you know. This huge, massive goat, and it cost me a packet. So I asked him, how much did this goat cost you? You know, you're really raving about this goat. How much did this goat cost you? So I can't recall, but that time it was like 4,000 or 5,000 rands, which is a lot, you know, for a goat. And I'm thinking, are you sure this was a goat and not a small cow or something? I mean, so big in size. So he said, no, I'll bring the meat. And anyway, he brought the meat, and I'm looking at this meat, and I said, okay, mashallah. Anyway, let's put it on the braai. Wallahi, Maulana, it didn't cook. Because that goat might have been 4 years old, or I don't know how many years old. The meat was like rubber. The objective of Qurbani is to eat the meat of Qurbani. So a lot of people, you know, even with bulls, they buy these bulls that are 2 tons, but they old, you know. Their meat is tough. And then what they do is, they take some photos of this bull. It looks beautiful, looks stunning, right? They'll take their photo shoot with it. They'll slaughter it. That whole thing will be documented. And then because they know they can't eat the meat, they then give the meat to Darul Ulooms or to orphanages or to the underprivileged. Now, how do you expect? Here, we were having a braai. And I even told this brother, I said, bhai, you know, next year, don't make this mistake. Because, see, now, this meat is not even cooking. I don't know how long we're going to have to leave it on the braai overnight just so that it cooks. And then, too, it's like rubber. The objective of Qurbani meat is to eat from it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate from the Qurbani meat. So, it's well and good, you know, we're choosing big animals and that there, but choose animals with soft, lean meat so that you can eat, so that your neighbors can eat, so that your family and friends can eat, and so that the poor can also indulge in that meat. You know, it's completely senseless. A person cuts a 2-ton bull. He's paid 40,000 rands or something in that region, and he can't eat it. And then he expects to give it to a Darul. I mean, Darul students, 9 out of 10, they don't have medical aid, and that they're going to break their teeth. How are they going to pay for dental work? The madrasas are not going to give them off days because all their teeth are broken from the qurbani. So, you know, I'm saying it in a lighthearted manner, but it's a serious issue. That choose your animals, you know, we know the age limits, right? That's the basic masala, basic masail. But choose animals with lean meat. Choose animals that are, you know, we're looking at animals that outwardly look beautiful to us, and we think, okay, you know, this is the animal that's going to carry me on the pool sirat. And, you know, but an animal that is young, is lean, you know, the meat is good. Alhamdulillah, at the end of the day, لَا يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It's the taqwa that Allah Ta'ala is looking for. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need the meat. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need the blood of the animals. So it is for our benefit. And there's a lot of barakah. My Sheikh Azamah Dawud Siddha Sahib Daman Barakat, who always tells me, Mawlana, two types of meat you must always consume from, because there's tremendous amount of barakah. One is the aqiqah and one is the qurbani.
So
we should follow that.
That's what we search for, that baraka. That's what we should be searching for. Now you find it's become like we're going to shop for a car, and you get the Hampshire. This is the more exquisite, classical range. And now when I went last week, they showed me the Hampshires. And those are like 80 kilos, 70 kilos. But they said a lot of people from Lodium, different places, are purchasing this here, which is a important lesson for us to learn, that it is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So choose a big, nice animal. But, of course, we must do it for the pleasure of Allah. Now comes to this, Mulana, which I want to discuss also, is you get some who are, I don't know, maybe that lack of iman in us, and we are looking for excuses not to do qurbani. So when it comes to doing up our car or putting an extra rum or doing some or purchasing a new phone or any of the sort, we'll make sure that we're going to get that money for it. But when it comes for our investments for that eternal life, then we're holding back. We're looking for excuses. Let's see how we can get our savings below the zakat nisab amount. What's Mulana's advice?
So, in everything, as human beings, we look for benefits. If a person is going to put a spoiler on the car, it's going to increase the value of the vehicle. If he's going to put a power exhaust, his fuel consumption will be less, the torque will be higher, the car will sound better, and it will move much more efficiently. Similarly, when it comes to qurbani, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that every hair, every fiber of wool on that animal is one ajr. And we all know that the animals are full of fibers of wool or hair. How much of thawab, how much of ajr? So we have to look at it in that manner, that Allah Ta'ala is providing us with an opportunity of immense sawab and ajab. Sahaba, they asked, you know, ma hazihi al-adahi ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is this udhiya all about? You know, why do we have to do it? Sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. This is the sunnah of your father Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And he is Khalilullah. You know, only two anbiya have that title of Khalil. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam عن سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
نبي
صلى الله عليه وسلم understood the thawab and ajr of qurbani so much so that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed over 100 animals. For whom? For us. And we can't find it in us. I mean, okay, one is if you genuinely don't have the funds, then fine, no problem. It's not wajib upon you. But as far as those who have the funds and now we dilly-dallying and we're looking at other avenues in spending the wealth instead of spending it on the qurbani, then the loss ultimately is ours. Allah Ta'ala is giving us an opportunity to put a power exhaust to carry us over the pool sirat.
Mm.
And we say, no, I'm going to stick with my old broken down Datsun exhaust with holes in it. So it makes no sense whatsoever. Allah Ta'ala gives us these opportunities. We must grab them with both hands. And the benefit, again, is for us. We will eat. Our family will eat. Our friends and neighbors will eat. Some people will say, but I don't eat fresh meat. Nobody's asking you to eat the fresh meat. Put it in a freezer. Put it in a cold room. Let it hang for 2-3 days. No problem. You don't have to slice it up. As long as the qurbani is taking place on those first 3 days or 4 days, according to Shafi, etc., no problem. You can slice it whenever, 1 month later, 2 months later. That's totally, entirely up to you, you know. And then it goes. So how do you purchase meat from the butcher when you're having these buys and whatever? I'm talking out of qurbani. It's the same way. So let's stop making excuses of, no, it's fresh meat and this and that. Everything is fresh. You think in the butcher, they're keeping meat for 6 months and then only supplying. They're buying on a daily, if not weekly basis. And they're supplying it to the public and we are purchasing it. It's just packaged nicely. So, you know, alhamdulillah, there are places. Even here in South Africa, Qurbani time, they package your Qurbani so beautifully, you'll think it actually came from a butcher. But you have to pay that extra service. Alhamdulillah. And you just pay and get it done and enjoy your Qurbani. Enjoy it. It's an ibadat, you know. It's not just a day out at the farm and what have you. And, you know, Maulana, I must say this. Here in Cape Town, okay, the area that I'm in, you're not allowed to bring animals home.
Mm.
So you have to travel 30 kilometers, 40 kilometers, someplace even further, just to go and slaughter your animal. So appreciate it. I mean, in Lens, I know every second house you're hearing, meh, meh, all day. It's already started. People got their animals in their houses. Here, there's nothing like that there. Let it not be that the time comes that Allah Ta'ala takes away this ni'mat from us because we didn't value it.
Allah save us. Important to appreciate these bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to us. And another thing that I just wanted to speak about, and we've got about 3-4 minutes left, is this, when we are doing it now. So it's time for slaughter. We're spending so much of money. We know how expensive it is, this, that, and we, for the pleasure of Allah, we should be happy to do it. And this will add to that rewards, inshallah. But now, there comes this, where it becomes like a festival now. So we are, it's just intermingling all of this, but the actual essence of why we are doing this, as Mulana Sahib had mentioned just now, that it is not the meat that is reaching Allah, it's the taqwa. Mulana, just this last few minutes to instruct us. I'm giving you permission, Mulana, you can command us.
Mulana, a few years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago, a friend narrated to me that he went to a particular area to do qurbani. And the reason why he chose this area is because he assumed that, mashallah, everything will be, you know, there'll be no intermingling and all of that there, which is a topic we can discuss for hours at length. But anyway, he thought that everything will be in inverted commas, Sharia compliant. But to his surprise, when he got there, there was a few young girls that were in overalls, and they were assisting. Whether they were baligha, I don't know, right? But the point that he mentioned to me was that all these young girls, what they did was, after they had slaughtered the animals, they took their fingers, dipped it in blood, and they marked their faces. You know, like how the army people, they mark it with, I don't know what it is, that black thing on their faces to camouflage, basically.
Mm.
So here they took the blood of the animal, and now they're not smearing it over their face. They're making two lines on each cheek. I don't know, like what, like a red Indian or what that is, but it's something that's become new, and it's become, like you said, like the festival. That subhanAllah, now I've got my stripes, so to speak. And especially girls, I mean, honestly, an ibadat, are we actually mocking Allah Ta'ala's deen by doing these silly, silly, stupid things? It's an ibadat. You're supposed to be engaged in zikrullah. You're supposed to be engaged in du'at when slaughtering that animal, taking care not to hurt the animal at all. So treat it as such, as an ibadat in salah. You know you can't eat, you can't drink, you can't speak. This is an ibadat. You cannot take your fingers, dip it in the fresh blood and put it over your face. You can't do that. I mean, that's a mockery of our deen. Treat it as an ibadat. Do the ibadat. And because in most places, this intermingling thing cannot be avoided, the moment you're done, get out of there. Get out, rather go home. The farm will handle your whole animal, your slicing and your marking, and they'll do everything. Get out of there. And just carry on with your day that way, so that you're not involved in all that intermingling. You know, we've made it, like you said, a party, because there's jumping castles and there's prize taking place. This is not what Qurbani is about. Qurbani, yes, I understand they want to keep the children entertained and what have you, but rather bring the children there to witness this ibadah. Everyone recite the takbir together, recite the du'as together, teach your children. This is how Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam performed qurbani, etc. And that way, our children, it stays with them, the values of this ibadah.
Appreciate your pieces of advice, Hazrat Mulana Musa alayhi salam. Inshallah, we will, in just a last note, that as we take all these beautiful pieces of advice, then Allah Azza wa Jal will select us as his friends, and that is our objective of our life, to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not to lose focus of all of this, inshallah. Mulana, we appreciate your time. Mulana is welcome to come to Lanesia to experience the mares that is going around and experience this. We hope Mulana can accept, inshallah. You can come, inshallah.
Inshallah. Next year, Maulana, this year, inshallah, I plan to be a little bit further away from South Africa for Bani time. Allah Ta'ala accept us all, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And Allah Ta'ala make it an ibadat that will be life-altering for us, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan for the pieces of advice. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.